practical politician. Well, but I want to tell you, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. To wash you all over, both in and out, is the blood of Jesus. You don't hear me tonight. I see some folk talking. I know what they're doing. They're trying to wash with water. I hear some folk shouting. I know what they're doing. Trying to wash with water and wash with word. I see some folk praying loud. Well, I know what they're doing too. They're trying to wash in prayer.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's that time of year again. Spring has come. And the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is abuzz and planning its annual Family Day Concert. Saturday, May 17th, 7 p.m. at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, Reverend Joseph L. Garner, Sr., Pastor, is the place where God blesses his people. Each year, Family Day showcases people and persons to the community of Leesville with the finest and most entertaining vocalists and groups in the music industry. So with that said, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church 2014 Family Day presents Stellar and Grammar Award winners, the world-renowned Gospel Quartet, Harvey Watkins, and the Canton Spirituals of Canton, Mississippi.
I'm starting my life over again.
Come from a poor family. We didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me.
It's going to be a foot stomping, toe tapping, and hand clapping time in the house of Zion. Put your praise shoes on. Come dressed and ready to praise like never before. If you haven't experienced the essence of the Canton Spiritual, you miss a portion of a little heaven on earth. Come and be blessed. Tickets are a $20 donation. Tickets available at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 337-238-1779. In Alexandria at KAYT 88.1, 318-484-2500. Do Drop In Barbecue, 318-256-0400. Tammy Creations, 337-494-1592.
For you young people, hallelujah. Do we have any young people sitting over here by you, Sister Powell? All right, I want all of our young people to be in the house, in the room, amen. Underneath the fire, thank you God, hallelujah. Let us stand all over this place as we prepare our hearts now to hear from heaven. I want to say how happy I am to see some of our members who've been away, and they're here. I see the DeGray brothers, Ronnie and Reggie DeGray. Y'all wave your hands. Y'all can see them anyway. They're real tall. Always happy to see them and their families here. Amen. I see Brother Charles McPherson, the Babineau's son. He's here. Another tall one. Amen. God bless you. And if I'm overlooking anybody, our youth announcement clerk will acknowledge you at the end of our service on today. But so happy to see you here. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus, keep me near. Shouts mountain, free to all a healing. It's a healing stream, and it flows. Beyond the river.
glory, my glory, my glory forever. Oh, till my righteous soul shall find. I want to find rest beyond the
preaching privilege, and Lord, we pray that you would speak a word into our hearts. Oh God, a word that will leave us better. We thank you now for your spirit that is moving in this place. Keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. 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 Also glad to see Reverend Sterling here and his family. Amen. All the way from Lake Charles. God bless you. Always happy to see you and your family here. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Exodus, chapter 24, and we will commence reading at verse 1. The Lord wants to tell somebody today that he sent you here today to tell you that it's time for you to move up higher. Come up higher. Amen. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. There you will find these words. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, come up higher. Come up higher. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Come up higher. Somebody's in this house today, and you have gotten comfortable where you are. You have become complacent. And you have now just begun to accept the reality of your life as it is. Amen. I don't know, it may be a marriage situation that's dark and gloomy. It may be an employment situation that you are really uncomfortable with, and you know that it's not the best that God has for you, but you have just accepted. Amen. That you're going to stay where you are. It may be in your prayer life. It may be in your study of the Word of God. There's so many things in this life, amen, that if we're not careful, we can get comfortable. We can get in a comfort zone and accept things as they are. But as God told Moses, come up a little higher, amen. This message to Moses, amen, you need to understand that God was calling Moses to a place he had never been before. And that's the danger of a comfort zone, amen, and that's why we call it a comfort zone, because it's a place that we get accustomed to. And because it is familiar territory for us, we conclude that I'd rather stay here where I know what's happening than to move to a place where I'm not sure what's happening, amen. But I've come by to tell you today that when the Lord calls on you to move up higher, you've got to do it by faith. Do I have any witnesses here today? You've got to do it by faith. And so God was calling Moses to an extraordinary place. He was calling him to an uncommon place. He was calling him to a higher place. Purpose. Now watch this, watch this. You Bible readers will remember that in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, we find Moses using excuses and complaining. We find Moses saying, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I'm telling you that when God was calling Moses into his destiny and into the fulfillment of his purpose, like many of us, Moses came up with excuses. as to why he could not do what the Lord was calling him to do. He said, God, they're not going to hear me. They're going to say, amen, hey, we don't believe you, man, that you've really, amen, seen God in a burning bush. And then in verse 10 of chapter 4, he's complaining. He says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses came up with excuse after excuse why he could not do what God was calling him to do. And I've been around us long enough, amen, even in the church, even in this church, to know that when God calls us to higher territory, many times we come up with all the reasons why we can't do. Am I the only one in here today who has that experience? That when the Lord tells me to move from where I am to where he wants me to be, I come up with every reason and every excuse, God, why I can't go, why I can't tithe, why I can't come to Bible study, why I can't make it to prayer meeting. Amen. Why I can't love my wife the way God wants me to love my wife, or why you can't love your husband the way God wants you to love your husband. We come up with all of these excuses. But what I want you to see is that after the fulfillment of time, the same Moses that was complaining, talking about they won't believe me, the same Moses that was making excuses saying I have a speech impediment, later in the book of Exodus, we find this same man stretching forth his rod upon the Red Sea, and we see the entire nation of Israel crossing on dry ground. I've come by to tell somebody today that the Lord is calling you to come up higher, and you've got to quit listening to people. As a matter of fact, there are some folk, because you'll notice here that God told Moses, now you bring these folk with you, but they can only go so far. You bring them with you, amen, amen, but at some point they're going to have to stop, and I want only you to come into my presence. Oh, there's a word in there for somebody. Somebody in here today, you've been complaining, and you've been sad, and you've been depressed because some people have walked out on you. Some people have left you. I'm talking about some folk who said, I got your back. Yeah. Amen. And you've been sad and taking pills because you're depressed, because some of those people have left you, and you think they've left you by yourself, but all God is doing is getting you ready to walk into your destiny. All God is doing is getting you ready to walk into your promised land. And can I tell you something? There are some folk you're running with now who can't go with you. Amen. There's some folk, amen, that you're hanging with now. Not only is it not God's will that they go with you, some of them are a hindrance to you getting where God wants you to be. I wonder if I have a witness here today. I said in a sermon several years ago, I told those of you who've had people to walk out on you that instead of you crying and complaining, some of you need to go to Walmart to the greeting card section and get you a greeting card and send it to them in the mail, amen, and say thank you. Thank you for walking out on me, because it was only after you left me that I realized God has something better for me. Do I have a witness in here today? And then some of those folk who thought they were hurting you, thought they were doing you a disservice by leaving you, you need to get another card, get a sympathy card, and tell them, you thought you were hurting me? I'm sending you a sympathy card because I'm sorry for your loss. You lost something when you walked out on me, because I know I'm somebody. I know who I am. I know who's, are there any witnesses here today? So there are some folk in your life, my brothers and sisters, in your lives, my brothers and sisters, that you need to stop the elevator of life. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you, there are some folks, some negative folks, some folk who are always telling you what you can't do, and oh, you'll never get that job, and you'll never be able to buy that car, and you'll never be able to live in that neighborhood. Amen. Sometimes you need to look at some of those folk and hit the next floor on the elevator. And they're going to say, what you doing? You look at them and say, this is your stop.
I can't get to where God is trying to take me with you on the elevator of life with me. I was in my research for this. I found out that there have been a lot of inventions that would not have come into fruition if it had been left up to what people said and what people thought. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, said in 1943, he said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." 1943. In 1968, an engineer at the Advanced Computing Systems Division of IBM, a man said of the microchip, "That ain't gonna be good for nothing." Ken Olson, president and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said there is no reason, in 1977, there's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. In 1876, Western Union, this was an internal memo at the Western Union Corporation, it said, "This telephone thing has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication." He said, "The device is inherently of no value to us." David Sarnoff in 1920, a man said about the radio, he said, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value." A Yale University management professor told one of his students who had written a paper on coming up with a business that would send packages overnight. This guy, Fred Smith, turned his paper in and the teacher said, "I'm gonna give you a C for this because it ain't realistic." Fred Smith went on to found FedEx. I'm trying to tell you today that you can't get caught up in what people say. You cannot get caught up in what people think about the vision that God has for your life, the destiny that God has for your life. Amen. You've got to walk by faith and listen to what God says. Is there anybody in here that has reached that point in their life like me where you quit worrying about what folks say about you? You reach that point in your life where you say what God says is enough. I'm satisfied with what God says. You may say he's a big nothing, but God says I'm the head and not the tail. You may say, amen, he ain't all that, amen, but God says that I'm his child, and if I'm his child, I know I'm somebody. Is there anybody here today that can testify that God, what God says is what matters most? I'm reminded over in John chapter 1 and verse 46, Nathanael sarcastically asked Philip about Jesus. Y'all remember what he said, huh? "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh my, oh my, oh my." Do you know what Philip told him? Philip, amen. Philip said, I'm sorry, amen. He told him, "Come and see." See, you can't worry about what people say. You've got to go on what you know about God. Do you know him today? I know some of you have to deal with people who are saying, "Why are you going to church so much? Amen. Why are you going over there to church so much? What's so good about church? What's so good about God? Amen." But I believe there ought to be some witnesses in here who can tell him, "Come and see. Come and see how when I was sick, the Lord healed my body. Come and see how when I was broke and didn't know how I was going to pay my light bill, the Lord made a way for me." Tell somebody to come and see. So you need to realize. You need to realize that there's a divine purpose and call upon your life. And I'm talking to somebody today who's been, amen, from one bad situation to another. From one bad situation to another. From one bad relationship to another. From one bad experience to another. And at some point, you're going to have to wake up and hear God telling you it's time to come up higher. Anybody in here sick and tired of being sick and tired? See, the good news is that there is a reason you were born. Amen. You're not here by accident. It is not a coincidence. It is not happenstance. God has you here for a reason. Tell your neighbor, "I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a reason." Amen. 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 The saddest thing in the world to me is a life that has not yet found its purpose in God. The saddest thing in the world is a life that is full of potential, and yet it has not yet found what it is God would have them to do. I'm talking to somebody. Someone said the richest place on earth is the cemetery. Because in the cemetery, there are so many unfulfilled dreams. In the cemetery, so much talent that never was used or exposed to the glory of God. That's why I want these young people to, amen, display their gifts, display their talents. The Bible says stir up the gift, and it's my responsibility as pastor. It's your responsibility as parents. It's your responsibility as youth leaders and youth workers to help discover their talents, to help discover their gifts. Do you know there wouldn't be an Aretha Franklin today if her daddy CL hadn't pushed her out to sing? Can I get a witness today? Do you know that we would not have had the success of a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. if his mom and dad hadn't pushed him out? Amen. Amen. Parents, you've got a responsibility to help your children come up higher, come up higher. So, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling unto us this morning. He's asking us, will you come up higher? He's asking us, will you allow me to take your life to a higher place of purpose and meaning? And I doubt very seriously that there is a person here today who at some point in their life didn't say, God, why am I here? Lord, what is my purpose? When you look into the Bible, you'll find person after ordinary person who appears to have no talent or purpose for his or her life. But after they heard the voice of God, they become something amazing. Do I have any witnesses here? It's like the little shepherd boy David out tending his father's sheep. It's like young Joseph telling his brothers about a dream that he had. I hear Mordecai saying to Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I hear Jesus telling Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I hear him telling Saul, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we wonder why everything seems to be going wrong in our lives. Sometimes we wonder why it just seems like our lives are going nowhere in a hurry. And I've come by to ask you the question today, could it be that we're spending our energy kicking against the very thing that God is calling us up to? I wonder today what could happen if each and every one of us could somehow find our purpose. Do you know your purpose? My brother, do you know your purpose? My sister, do you know your purpose? Some of you have been in the church a long time. Still don't know your purpose. Amen. You've been going through the motions, but you still don't know your purpose. And y'all have heard me say before that if you don't know the purpose of a thing, what did I say? You will abuse it. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. And some of you wonder why your lives are raggedy. You wonder why you're always in trouble. You wonder why nothing seems to be going right in your life. It's because you're not walking in your purpose. And I've come by to challenge you today, my brothers and sisters, to walk in your purpose, to come up higher, to walk in God's will, to do what God wants you to do. This is what I believe. I believe that each and every one of us here today has a divine purpose. I said, this is what I believe. I believe that each and every one of us here today has a reason and call of God upon our lives. You heard me say, you're not an accident. Amen. Point to yourself and say, I'm not an accident. I'm not an accident. Our children need to hear that. Amen. Because I keep hearing stuff about negative stuff folk are telling them at the schoolhouse, telling them they'll never be anything, and telling them that they're not good enough, and telling them that they don't measure up. But moms and dads, we've got